Hello and a very, very warm welcome to this, our first episode of our Cheltenham Countdown series. This is the fourth series, I believe, the tricky fourth album for Mr. Rory Delargy and Ruby Walsh. And we'll be looking forward to the greatest show on turf, nitpicking our way through some of the races each week at the Cheltenham Festival. You are watching this, of course, on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss an episode of the Cheltenham Countdown series. We'll be with you here every Monday evening, each of the, I think it's about 10 weeks between now and the Cheltenham Festival, is it?
We're not going to really split the difference, but I'd say it's nine shows.
Nine shows, okay. Well, 10 weeks, nine shows, 8 weeks, could be 8 weeks, who knows. But we're here every Monday anyway with a new show, picking our way through some of the races at the festival. This week we've got some really, really good races to look forward to. But before we get stuck into the nitty gritty, I have to simply go through the motions and say, Ruby, somehow you've managed to survive a fourth season. You're here again. I don't know how. Somehow, it's a miracle, no, yeah, really.
To me, it is a highlight, Tom, that you've returned.
Really?
You've come back to where your true origins were.
Triumphant.
You emigrated for a little while. You went and spread your wings, but you have come back to the nest.
Had my wings clipped. Here I am. They all come crawling back in the end. Rory.
It looks that way. We didn't want to say it.
Rory, how are you getting on? You're back from your travels, but you're kind of mixing and matching with a bit of flat and jumping at the moment.
I am a little bit, yes. I'll be back on my travels again tomorrow. But jetting back here every Monday for this wonderful oasis of calm.
I know the glamour of it. It really is. You have to pinch yourself sometimes when you get gigs like
Indeed
this.
Indeed, you do, yeah.
So far, National Hunt season, you're very much gearing up. You as a seasoned journalist, I know some people can maybe get overwhelmed by the run-up to the Cheltenham Festival, but it is all-consuming now. It's what we look forward to.
Yeah, but yeah, you need to learn how to pace it, both in the run-up to Cheltenham and, of course, as newbies to the festival itself find out during the week itself as well. You can't go full throttle for 4 days, and you can't really go full throttle for 10 weeks beforehand either.
I know. It is very much pacing ourselves, but Ruby, we'll be looking forward to some of the big races here each week. No doubt you'll have plenty of nuggets of wisdom, insight for us. You'll be putting in the hard yards behind the scenes.
I'm not so sure about that, Tom, but I think most of it's been, of what we're going to talk about, it's been evident already on the track this year. I mean, we've had Christmas, some great racing both in Ireland and the UK, and from here until the festival, you'll obviously have the Dublin Racing Festival, and we'll have other big meetings in the UK that'll give us hints and give us points as to what's going to happen, and ultimately, all the horses we're going to talk about have to get through the next 10 weeks as well, and you know, training cranks up for them, and unfortunately not every horse we talk about in the next couple of weeks will even get to Cheltenham in March.
I know, but you mentioned there, Ruby, like already so far this season, this is January when we're recording this episode, we've had a good few turn-ups already in the National Hunt season, but in your life in racing, has the path to Cheltenham in terms of mapping out a horse's kind of route with the advent of the Dublin Racing Festival and maybe some of the other bigger meetings in the UK, has that got a bit more clear? Is there a clearer route, or is it still mixing and matching to suit a certain horse?
I think it's mixes and matches to suit certain horses. The Dublin Racing Festival was always there as three meetings. It was just amalgamated into two, but I mean, you had the Irish Champion Hurdle meeting and the Hennessy Gold Cup meeting, so most of those races were there. They were just rearranged into one weekend between where they were originally ran. You know, and it's the same with Cheltenham. You'll have Cheltenham at the end of January, you'll have Newbury in the early in February, you have a couple of meetings at Ascot, you know, and a couple at Kempton, even the old race and post-trophy meeting. So, look, there's plenty of race meetings between now and March where there's races that are worth winning and that will throw up horses that might be worth following come March.
Okay, very good stuff. Right, before we go any further, just a reminder that if you're having a bet this week, or indeed any week, always remember to do so responsibly. Let's get cracking and let's get stuck into the few of the races that we're going to look at this week on the cards. The first week we're going to look at is the Champion Hurdle. Rory, we'll start with you. Could this be an open and shut case? Obviously, we've got Constitution Hill at the top of the market, and a very clear favourite. What are you thinking?
Well, the long and short of it is, yes, it should be the easiest race to talk about off the festival in terms of winners. And it's probably value. Yeah, you know, if you're, I didn't really look at the market for this until recently, and you look at it and see him at 1-3, and I'd probably have him 1-5 or 1-6 for it. It's not everyone's kind of price, it's not my kind of price. I'm not gonna be backing him Andy Post, but I think he represents value in terms of what he's done and what he's still capable of doing. I thought he was mightily impressive at Kempton. I know you can knock everything he's done in terms of the quality of the opposition that is there against him in the UK, but he looked as good as ever, at least as good as ever at Kempton. I thought his jumping was phenomenal. And that's the key to a champion hurdler. You've got to be able to be lightning fast over your hurdles. He's pretty much unbeatable. But from a punting point of view, you've obviously got different ways of getting involved in that race. You can get involved in the distance market. And obviously with an odds-on favourite, you've got an interesting each-way angle to a race. You're getting good value potentially about a horse you think might finish second or third there. So that makes it more interesting.
Before we drill into the betting side of it, just in terms of kind of giving a bit of context to Constitution Hill and British jumps racing, he's kind of the flag bearer, the standard bearer at the moment. You look at maybe the chasing division there, the UK is maybe not light, but lacking a star, definitely in comparison to Gallop and Deschamps anyway. How important is he for UK jumping at the moment?
I think he's very important for obvious reasons, but there's two things. One, the Brits will be very keen to get a winner on the board early at the Cheltenham Festival, and he gives you the opportunity on the opening day of winning the championship race on the opening day and getting things off to a good start, and therefore he is very much a flag bearer. But also I think it's really important that there is an English star in general terms, because I'm a little bit worried about the lack of depth in British racing at the moment compared to what we see in Irish yards. And it's, you know, there was a long time, I remember the late 80s when, you know, one winner at the festival was all we could look forward to. And we were keen for John Mulhern to do his thing, but things have turned around enormously. And there was a period there where you were counting the winners and saying, oh, we're beating the Brits, it's terrific. When that becomes almost a whitewash, then it's no longer fun. You need to have strength either side of the Irish Sea. And at the moment, there's definitely an imbalance. And the longer that goes on, the worse it will be for the sport in general. So it's good that you got something like Constitution Hill, who is probably the outstanding racehorse over jumps in Europe, because you've got a few Frenchies coming through as well, obviously.
Indeed.
So that's really important for the sport. But I think it's important that British racing flourishes in the next decade. There have been changes made to the pattern in the last year. I think those are positive, but it'll take a while for that to come through. And of course, you need to see more talent. You need to see that flourishing. You need to see other stables as well coming through. You know, not just the big guns. And what a lot of people say, what's wrong with the sport at the moment is that Willie Mullins is dominating. Well, you look at Irish yards in general, take Willie and take Gordon out of the equation, and Irish yards have flourished at the Cheltenham Festival in the last decade or two. So this has not been bad for Irish racing, it's been bad for English racing, and that's what needs to be focused on for them.
So Constitution Hill's brilliance then magnified by kind of wider issues affecting British racing, which is issues we'll get into maybe another time
in
another place. Yeah. But another thing that I wanted to mention as well is that there now seems to be a doubt whether or not we'll see him again before the Cheltenham Festival, and horse is not running. And I know he hasn't had a smooth path with weather and all sorts of cancellations, but it's not a great look either. If you're going to avoid running the horses apart from at that one kind of bigger meeting towards the end of the season, what's the point?
Yeah, and then we've been there before. The whole Straight to Cheltenham mantra is not necessarily beneficial to the sport or for those who are fans of the winter game. You know, you have whole tracks of the winter where you're not seeing those stars. But I was reasonably encouraged by what Nicky Henderson said after Kempton. He said, we want to run him at Cheltenham on trials day. There's no reason why he wouldn't be able to run there. And he did say, we want to run this horse, not we want to wrap him in cotton wool. So I hope you can trust Nicky's word on that, and that he will, you know, he won't want extremes of ground. Not that he doesn't handle them. He handles heavy ground perfectly well, but obviously Nicky Henderson will want good to soft ground for trials day at Cheltenham, and I think he will run there. I really hope so. That's certainly the impression he's given. But yeah, when we're seeing the best horses run a couple of times maximum before Cheltenham, or just once, then that's not ideal. But I hope we'll see Constitution Hill later this month.
Yeah, hopefully. At fast approaching. Ruby, I'll bring you in here. Let's talk about the champion hurdle in its own...
Just on that point, I mean, how many times a year can you expect to see the best horses? I think if you can see them five times, you're going well.
Yes.
You know, I mean, one run before Christmas, at Christmas, one run before Cheltenham, and then whether they go to Cheltenham or Aintree thereafter. But that's what you should be hoping to, is to see them, if you can see them five times. And I think the Irish programme sets up that way, that you see them five times. And weather obviously stopped you seeing Constitution Hill once this year. I mean, in Newcastle, we've only got to see him at Christmas. But, you know, you would love to see him run at the end of January and then go Cheltenham and be at Punchestown or April. I think five times is realistic.
Yeah.
And yeah, hopefully we'll get to see that.
Fingers crossed we do. Speaking about the champion hurdle, Willie Mullins is probably one of the kind of leading contenders to get the better of Constitution Hill, if anybody can.
Yeah, it is.
Tactically, Ruby, let's talk about State Man, his run at Christmas, and how you see maybe tactically March developing then. What's the best way to ride him, do you think?
It's hard to know what Paul would do come March, but I mean, he followed him last year, that didn't work, so I wouldn't be surprised were he to try something different. He has to try something different, that's pretty obvious. Field of Derry made it at Leopardstown at Christmas time in the Matheson, and Stateman sat second. Field of Derry probably didn't count in the race, so essentially he made it in the race he was in with Imperi Pass, and Echoes and Rain behind him. But of course Paul Townham would do something different. You thought so anyway. But he has to improve, there's no doubt about it. Paul doesn't feel that he turned up and ran his race in Cheltenham last year. But even if you, I do accept that, if you think, well, how close can he get then? Even if he's £10 better, it still doesn't get him in front of Constitution Hill. Yeah. And his two runs this year have been rock solid. Look, I know he's 4-1 with Paddy Power at the moment. At a fifth of the odds, it probably doesn't pay each way. But were Constitution Hill to do something wrong, he's the one horse that can beat him.
If you were with your riding boots on, sitting in the weigh room, going out to ride against Constitution Hill, is there a chink in the armour? Is there anything you can do to kind of maybe get him out of his comfort zone?
It doesn't look to be, because you think how fast John Bonn and Dysart Dynamo went in a Supreme. Like, they went hammer and tongs. Constitution Hill just sat in the box seat third, right behind him, and took it off him at the third last. So I mean, if you go flat out, he's an even better horse. That was visually his most impressive performance. If you go steady, Nico just gets involved. He went steady in last year's champion hurdle. Nico got upsides good and early. He keeps it really simple on him. So there doesn't look to be an obvious flaw. He's a very honest horse, Constitution Hill. Whereas when you were racing against, say, an Altior, you could think, well, he's idling in front.
Yeah.
If I leave him there and come at him wide and late, I might nab him, or he can be some way creative. But when you look at Constitution Hill, he's just flawless. He's damn close to perfect, like, isn't he?
Yeah. Temperament's perfect. His jumping is perfect. I know that sometimes you see horses who are brilliant jumpers early on, and then they start getting a little bit lower.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bouverdere was a really good example of a horse whose jumping was absolutely superb when he won the champion hurdle, and then mistakes started creeping in because he's getting that little bit lower at his hurdles. But Constitution Hill is just, I mean, the one moment you had your heart in your mouth was at the last when he just came out of Nico's hands, but he was absolutely fine. He'd go around happily on his own, pinging every hurdle.
And he had a grab at the last at Newcastle as well, but in Kempton he was perfect.
Yeah.
And he's such a good jumper. It's like he just lifts his knees at a gallop and just takes the jump in a galloping stride. You barely notice him getting off the ground. He's that good at it.
Imperi Pass, we had spoken in Leopardstown at Christmas, that, and maybe he's falling into the category of very good novice struggling to maybe make the grade in open hurdling company. But is there a chance he runs here, and could he maybe pick up a few of the pieces?
I haven't asked, but to watch him, he doesn't look to me like a horse that wants to be running a stairs hurdle. He was quite keen in the Hatton's Grace. He had a good grip of Daryl Jacob in the Matheson. To me, he doesn't race like a staying hurdle horse yet. He might over time, if you dropped him in, he might switch off. But to watch him in his races, he races two on the bridle for my money to be a stayers hurdle horse. So I'd run him in the stayers hurdle. I think he can improve from Leopardstown. His jumping is very good. It was better than Stateman's at Leopardstown. Maybe a stronger run race. And, you know, if you follow Stateman and Constitution Hill, who knows what they could do to each other. And you could pick up the pieces. I'd be for running him, but I don't train him. Nor do I own him. That's only my opinion.
They might listen to you, though.
I doubt it.
But long term, if you think what he's going to do long term, I think running the champion hurdle is the right thing for him as well.
So do I. I mean, if he's going to go chasing next year as well, I would think that the champion hurdle is the better option for him.
Okay, interesting stuff. Rory, is there anything to be said about the rest of the competition then? Is there any value maybe outside
Don't deny
of
Hughie Morrison now.
away from Constitution Hill.
You mustn't ignore the grade one winners, mustn't you?
Would you agree with Ruby maybe in terms of like tactically there could be a way to write statement differently or do you think Paul should be more aggressive or how do you think that's going to
I don't think there's an obvious thing to do, but I think as Ruby said, they tried one thing last year and it didn't work, so you'd think you've got to try something else this year, and that suggests a more aggressive ride. It didn't work against Constitution Hill and the Supreme, and again, as Ruby said, that was where he was most awesome, when they went hell for leather to try to get him in trouble, and it really suited him down to the ground. So I don't see that tactic making a difference, but it could set the race up for something to come from further back and hit the frame. It could end up being destructive to State Man if he tries to do that. He might not get home. By trying to put it up to Constitution Hill. So I thought the one horse that was interesting from an each-way point of view was Bob Bollinger. He's never been in the reckoning for a champion hurdle, but he's not going to go stairs. Obviously, Connections have other horses for the stairs anyway, but I think they've pretty much given up on 3 miles for him anyway. He was back to his best in the Rel Keel. I know there's a bit of a doubt about that, but again, one of the mistakes we tend to make with really promising young horses is to exaggerate their novice form. Mm-hmm. And obviously, novices need to improve a good stone before their championship class. I thought his win in the Rel Keel was as good as he did when he won the Ballymore. Obviously, everyone expected an awful lot more off him the following season. It didn't really happen over fences, and it didn't happen at all for him last season. But he seems a happier horse this year. He wasn't wildly impressive. It was the Smullen hurdle he won the first time, wasn't it?
Yeah, he just got home.
Yeah, but he was a lot better at Cheltenham, and he'd won that a lot easier if his path hadn't been blocked coming to the final hurdle. I thought he did well coming through a small gap in the end, and he sprinted up the hill. Now, it's easy enough to knock the Rel Keel form, but I think that shows that Bob Ollinger still has the speed he had as an novice hurdler, and he'd be very well suited by a strongly run champion hurdle. He'll travel on the bridle for a long way. And if you're looking for someone to pick up the pieces, I think he's the ideal horse. You'd still be worried about him in a finish. Mm. But I think dropping back in trip will actually suit him, given the issues that he's had. I think they've got him in a good place at the moment. And given they're not going to go stairs hurdle, and he's unbeaten at Cheltenham, he's 3 runs at Cheltenham, 2 wins at the Festival, and a win in the Rel Keel, it would seem daft to give him 10 weeks off going to entry. I'd stick him in the champion hurdle and, you know, see how he goes.
But when you're looking at this race, you're looking at who will be ridden to win, and what would be ridden to achieve its best possible
to
finish
run
position.
Well, as it were, yeah.
Yeah, to run well. So if you're looking down through it, could that be an Imperial Pass or a Bob Ollinger, as Rory has said, that'll be coming from off the pace to try and rob third or rob second, or if they get really lucky, nick the whole lot. So it's how you look at a race. I mean, you can't imagine a statement of Constitution Hill being ridden any other way than to absolutely try and win, one to beat the other. But which of the others will try and pick up the pieces? And that's your angle into it.
Okay. Let's come to decision time then. Before I get your selections, just to mention, there's a special here, a Constitution Hill special. To win by 6 lengths or more is now 4-5, bearing in mind 7 of his 8 career wins have been by 9 lengths or more. And you can find that special on the horse racing special section of the Paddy Power app or from the link in the show notes. Rory, we'll go with you. 1, 2, 3 in the champion hurdle. And if Constitution Hill does win, how far is he winning by?
Constitution Hill first. State Man second. Bob Ollinger third. 8 lengths.
8 lengths. Okay, right. So it's a yes for our
similar 1-2 for me. But I probably think Imperial Pass is a more likely runner than Bob Ollinger. So I go with him to finish third. And does he win by more than 6 lengths? So I'm trying to think, how many champion hurdlers win by more than 6 lengths?
Very few. But he did, obviously.
He did, yeah. I think very few as well. For the sake of being different, I'll go less than that.
Less than 6 lengths. Okay, very good. Right,
no one gave me a less than or more than. I had to name a number of lengths.
Well, we'll ask for the over-under to be put up as well. No doubt producer Mark can organise that.
So then just to clarify, seeing as Rory had to stick his neck on the line at 8, I'll go with 5.
Okay, 5 for Ruby. Very good. That's the champion hurdle in a nutshell. Now on to the second of our races this week, the cross-country chase, which we'll be right over to after this short break.
What would National Hunt Racing be without a little choice? Jockey or trainer? bay or grey, form or silks. And now, Paddy Power's new money-back tokens give you even more choice because you choose the race to apply your token to. Get money back as a free bet if your horse finishes in the designated places on a race of your choosing. Just look out for our money-back token promos and claim your token however you like. Paddy Power. Applies to races with 8 or more runners. Opt-in required. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back, and here is your obligatory reminder to make sure you subscribe to the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel so you don't miss an episode of the Cheltenham Countdown with my two close and personal friends, Rory Gillard and Ruby Walsh. First off, we've got one quick question via email from a podcast listener. Nick has asked a question about a horse called Key de Bourbon, won a Naas maiden hurdle in mid-December in the Giggenstown Colours. Nick was wondering what you make of him and where he might go, Ruby.
I thought he won well. Probably surprised us a little bit on what he was showing at home. Where will he go next? Possibly Moscow Flyer at the weekend. Maybe there's a race in Thurles and then you're into Dublin Racing Festival. But he's ready to go again, so I'd imagine in the near enough future. I think he has to improve a little bit, though.
Okay. Right. Interesting. Right. Let's get stuck into the cross country is the next race we're going to look at. And Rory, I suppose this race has changed a little bit. It used to be a handicap, now a conditions race, and as a result, the quality of horses in it has skyrocketed, I think it's fair to say. We now have kind of grade one, former grade one staying chasers coming back down into this level, and Tiger Roll has obviously put the race on the map, but we've got Cause of Causes and Conflated, obviously, big names on the Roll of Honour as well. It's a race that's changed complexion significantly over the years.
It has. I'd say it's easy to say Tiger Roll changed the shape of it. I think Silver Birch might have been the horse who you wouldn't have noticed it at the time, but Gordon Elliott found out this was a tremendous stepping stone to the Grand National. Mm-hmm. You wanted to give a horse a run, you know, you had a high class horse going to the National. We found out over the years that running the Gold Cup is not the greatest prep. Going the handicap route sometimes worked, but the cross country seems to be the perfect sort of race. It's not so punishing, despite the trip, and it's proved to be a really good springboard for Grand National horses since Silver Birch. So Gordon's just ploughed that furrow, and he's found better quality horses to go to it, and then to try to get the National, obviously Tiger Roll being the perfect example of the ideal horse for both races, and he's been looking for the next Tiger Roll since, really, hasn't he?
Any hypothesis as to why that might be the case, why it's a good trial for the National, or is it just one of those things?
I think, well, you wouldn't have been a regular rider in the cross country at all, would you?
I rode in a few early on. It's not as grueling, even though it's over further.
Yeah,
it's not run at the same tempo. No. So they go a good bit slower, there's twisting, there's turning, and it's a race that horses can progress from. Now, obviously, Pinot de Rey went from a per temps.
Yeah.
To win a Grand National, I'd say a rough quest is probably the last horse to go from a Gold Cup to a Grand National and win. I'm guessing maybe there's one in between, I can't think of one. But I would say that the nature of the cross country race, just not being as hard physically on a horse, probably makes it a better prep for a Grand National or guide to a Grand National.
Okay. Ireland's dominance has obviously been, it's been another race that Ireland has dominated over the last couple of years. 8 out of the last 9 winners have been trained in Ireland. Can you see the kind of that record changing anytime soon, or will it continue in the same vein?
I'd say it could continue in the same vein. I was impressed with how Manila Indo took to it in December time. Obviously, Conflated has been mooted even as possibly going that direction. You have Delta Work and Galvin. So, look, they're four horses of a really high standard, Tom, and when you look at them, I probably struggle to see the winner not coming from one of the four of those. I think for the race, maybe going forward, a lot of people want to see it turn back into an actual handicap. Mm. I would be more for a limited handicap, 11-10 to 10-10. And I know that'll still leave plenty of horses out of the handicap, but you're looking at horses that are on the way down. Could you see any of the four I've mentioned being concerned in the Gold Cup? No. You couldn't, I couldn't. So they're dropped out of that bracket looking for another angle. Mm. So you have to try and give these horses longevity and an angle. I think the cross-country race is ideal for them, but you also have to give lesser horses a chance. I think a limited handicap would be ideal for it and make it as competitive as you could. But I think one of the four of those will win, and I was impressed with what Manila Indo showed me in December.
Okay, interesting stuff. Rory, obviously, very much Gordon Elliott, hue to the market this year, and that's very much in keeping with his record in the race. Would you have conflated pegged as possibly one of the best horses to ever have ever won it. We spoke before we came on air that officially that might be the case, but unofficially in the school of Rory De Largy handicapping, would you have him as the best horse?
Well, you do get the impression that Tiger Roll is listening in, don't you? I think in terms of the official rating they'd be carrying into the race, he might be the highest rated, but there's not much. I mean, you've got Delta Work and Galvin would have been very similarly rated last year. Tiger Roll would have been rated a fair bit higher after he won. I think he was rated 159 or 160 maybe coming into to his most impressive win in the cross country, and then he was up to one when he won the national. He was then 171 afterwards. He would have been 171 I think coming into his last one where he disappointed. So he wouldn't be the highest rated ever, and he's not the sexiest either, really, is he? Conflated. He's obviously a very good horse. He ran well in the Gold Cup last year. He ran a cracker in the Ryanair the year before. He came down to the second last when he was challenged for a place, and I think Gordon wanted him to run in the Gold Cup that year as well. So yeah, I mean, he might end up being the horse who's gone closest in a Gold Cup, or would have been capable of going closest in a Gold Cup. But he's very similar in terms of raw ability to the likes of Delta Work and Galvin and Tiger Roll. For all Tiger Roll never really developed into a Gold Cup horse.
Looking at last year's form, how do you split Galvin and Delta Work? Is it kind of ground dependent, or is it just on the day you just see who shows up?
Was it 2.5 lengths between them last year? Galvin looked a massive danger, but Delta Work found that a little bit extra. And Delta Work, you know, with the experience, obviously Galvin didn't have the cross-country experience that Delta Work had going into it, and you might fancy him to develop a little bit. But he hasn't gone forward in two starts this season on the cross-country track. He handles soft ground, but he's probably a better horse on good. You're always liable to get slightly faster ground in the cross-country course than you are on the park course. Not that it's a park course, on the normal track at Cheltenham, the new or the old course. But that depends on the weather. But when it gets fairly dry, then you're liable to get, you can't get quick ground on the cross-country course. And it's hard. I know they can water it to a degree, but it's hard to water evenly across the track. So if it's, again, you're always gambling. In other words, 10 weeks away from the festival, you don't want to start second-guessing what the weather's likely to do, given how difficult it's been to read from week to week. But Delta Work will handle softer ground better. Galvin would be happier on goodish ground. But so thus far, Delta Work has just looked slightly more of a natural than Galvin has. Galvin is using his class to get close, but he hasn't struck me as being a horse who's a cross-country specialist yet. So I would just favour Delta Work again off the pair. I've got a friend who's got a strong opinion. The opposite of that, I think, is Galvin's just, you know, his season's all about March and April, and therefore he's only going to show his true form when he comes back to Cheltenham / Aintree again. Obviously, he didn't last very long in the National last year, but, you know, the plan is always for these high-class cross-country horses to try to win the cross-country and then try to win the Grand National as well. So we don't see the best of them until that's on the table, but we'll see.
Interestingly, and before we move on, just Gordon is very keen on running very good horses in the cross-country Cheltenham, but I know there are different types of races, but he rarely seems to use some of the cross-country races at Punchestown as preps. He doesn't use them as much.
Delta Work did win a bike race at Punchestown.
They're going to go in November to Cheltenham and then run at the festival. They might run in the Paddy Power or something like that in between times. But
they are very different races, though. Punchestown's a lot more banks, whereas Cheltenham is more cross-country, just a different style of fence rather than they have one bank in the middle of the course. But there's a cheese wedge in front of the stands where you jump down and jump up, which could be, I suppose, similar to a drop bank and an up bank, but they are completely different races.
Between the top four and the betting for this year's cross country, the Cheltenham Festival, they've won 11 Grade 1 races between them. Galvin has won, Delta Work is 5, Conflated is 2, Manila Indo is 3. Ruby, I know you're keen on Manila Indo. What did you make of his banks debut, and what was it in that performance that you liked? What did you see that kind of turned you on, as it were?
I thought he attacked his jumps. I thought he jumped reasonably well. He obviously started the season with a good win at Punchestown, where he beat Conflated, Delta Work, horses like that, Panda Boy, who all looked a good bit less fit than that Manila Indo on the day. I thought when he went to the champion chase at Down Royal, then when he got in against the big boys in the Grade 1 and they took him on and hassled him along, he gave up kind of quick. But I thought dropping in grade to a cross-country race, going a mile an hour slower, I thought he jumped really well. I thought with a big weight, he came home well. He was slightly hesitant at the second last and the last, which are kind of bullfinchy hurdles.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I think he can improve on that. And I just thought that was a handicap in the conditions race. I thought it was a perfectly good run. I thought he finished just in front of Galvin, didn't he?
Yeah, and he's giving weight to Galvin as
giving
well.
Giving him weight. Yeah. And I just thought with Galvin with a couple of runs over the jumps, minute in those first time, I thought there was improvement there. And like, as good a record, Gardner's a brilliant record at Cheltenham, but so does Henry.
Yeah.
Henry turns horses up year in, year out in great form at Cheltenham, and yeah, I'd be willing to side with him.
Okay, very good. Ruby and Rory will open this over up to the two of you. Of the home team of the UK Challenge, is Late Night Pass probably the best?
He looks that way. He's taken to it really well, and he was the winner of that race at the last meeting where Manel Indo was fourth and Delta Work fifth. He had 10 stone 8, Manel Indo 12 stone that day, Delta Work at 11 stone 11. Galvin 11-11. So, you know, he's got work to do. But we've seen in the past, it's difficult to do this in a pounds and ounces kind of way. You either take to it or you don't take to it. And obviously, having to carry more weight in March asks a bigger question. But plenty of horses have won handicaps and have looked weighted to struggle at the festival and have then picked up again. Easy's Land, for example, was, I think, he was winning off 10-5 or something in December, then absolutely bolted up. In March, so you wouldn't want to do him down for that, even though he's going to be a lot worse off at the weights. He's £20 with Manila Indo, for example, but he enjoys it. He's been lightly raced, although he's changed stable. There hasn't been much of a change there, really. It's just, you know, one family member to another, really, and a different box. But yeah, he's always been a good jumper, and he seems to have taken to that. So I don't see any reason why you shouldn't consider him to be the best of the UK challengers. Mm-hmm. Just needs to find a little bit more if he's going to be winning against, you know, almost grade one horses.
He's gone from 140 to 149, which only leaves him 4 or 5 pounds behind a Delta Work now, who seems to be coming down. But he still has to prove that he's good enough to win off 149. Mm-hmm. He did win off 140, so he's to carry that £9 penalty and then probably be 7 or 8 better again to get involved.
Okay, let's get a verdict then. Rory, starting with you, the winner of this year's cross-country chase.
Yeah, well, again, reflecting a lot of what Ruby said, I was impressed with Manila Indo the last day with a big weight. I thought he was given an educational ride as well. He went around the outside most of the way. And I thought that's not a massive hardship most of the way around, but it's a tight final turn. I thought he lost a lot of ground coming around.
Slipped on it too,
yeah.
Didn't he?
It's not a natural final bend. That it's caused issues in the past, and it will do again in the future. So he slipped slightly, lost ground, and he's and then, as you said, he was hesitant at the last two because they're unusual obstacles to jump. I think he'll come on plenty for it, and I thought he was the best of the lot in the race. Now
I was in agreement. Manila Indo for the two of us.
Okay, very good. Well, conversely, Paddy Power have a special up on site. Conflated to win the cross-country chase is now at 3-1. So you can find that in the horse racing special section of the Paddy Power app or from the link in the show notes. Right, Ryanair chase time. Before you're trying to hold back that yawn, don't you dare yawn live on television. You were trying your best not to yawn. Alaho is going back in a bid to win the race for the third time, Ruby. What have you made of his two runs so far?
After a year out, he was workmanlike at Clonmel. He had to improve to win a King George, and I don't think he improved enough. I suppose when I watched the King George, they didn't go quick for the first circuit, yet Alaho looked like he was going as quick as he wanted to be going. And to me, that wasn't the Alaho that won the 2021 or 2022 Ryanair, where he blew horses away in the first mile. You wouldn't have held him behind Frodon in those two Ryanairs, whereas Paul Townend had no problem putting him where he was in the King George. He didn't look like he wanted to be going any faster, and that to me was a sign. I think he'll have to have improved a good bit from the King George and refine that spark. Alaho wins races in the first mile rather than the last mile of a race, and he wasn't able to do it in the King George, and he'll have to be able to do that if he's going to win this.
Would you say tactics went against him big time? Does he have to be ridden a certain way now?
I don't think it was tactics. I think if Alaho was on song jockey doesn't ride Aloho. Aloho is literally telling the jockey what he's doing. And that to me was the sign of Aloho, was that he wasn't keen enough. He wasn't going, he didn't want to go any faster. He didn't look like he could go any faster.
No.
So he didn't impress me in the King George.
How has he been since? All 100%. Systems go still?
Yeah, all systems go. But I do think he has to refine that spark if he's going to win this race.
Rory Staystar and Edward Stone, they appear to be kind of the standard bearers of the home challenge. How would you kind of assess their chances in the Ryanair?
Well, they're both up there in terms of ability and in terms of the ratings, but they both get slight issues. Staystar obviously has got to bounce back from a bad run. I was surprised Paul Nicholls ran him in that race, to be honest, in the handicap on New Year's Day, because he'd been talking about going straight to Cheltenham with him after he won the Paddy Power. And I don't think he wants a slog in them. I know it was officially soft, but I thought it must have been getting reasonably close to heavy on New Year's Day. And I thought Paul would pull him out on the day. He ended up disappointing. He didn't jump. The official excuse from the yard was that he was stiff after the race. But I mean, they had to give it. You have to give an excuse straight after the race, and you wouldn't be in a position to say what was physically amiss with the horse at that stage. I think a lot of trainers just say, you know, give something that might satisfy the questions, whereas they don't find out, have any idea what the issue might be until they get back home or the following day. There was a suggestion that he might have had sore shins. The vet found nothing wrong with him. He just had an off day. He didn't jump. He didn't dominate. And I think the thing about Staystar, he probably wants to dominate, and he was given a really good ride to win the Golden Miller at the festival last year, if you excuse me using formal race titles. Harry Cobden dictated that race. They didn't go very hard. He got the horse into a rhythm, slowed it down when he needed to, and kept enough in the tank to repel the others. And then his Mighty Potter was third, didn't get into his rhythm. So he beat Not Long Till May, who he beat again in the Paddy Power. And you have to say, that form's not good enough to win a Ryanair. He needs to step forward again. For all he was impressive at Cheltenham, and then going back there and disappointing over track and trip leaves him with a bit to prove. He can bounce back, but I thought the price about him was too short in the first place. And so although he's drifted in the market, what, he's about 13-2 or 7-1 now, top price. I think that's the price he should have been if he hadn't turned up at Cheltenham. And now that he's got that question to answer, I think, you know, I wouldn't be keen to be taking single figures about him at the moment. For all, you know, he's in very good hands, and he could easily bounce back. If it ends up being a biggish field for the Ryanair, there tend to be few prisoners taken early on there. It's also worth pointing out the Ryanair is not exactly the same course and distance as the Golden Miller. No. They jump one less fence, they go a furlong less. So they don't get into that, they don't get into quite the rhythm that they do early on there, because they start from the top of the spur for the Ryanair, and you're going hard early on there to get a position, and their pace usually slackens a little bit maybe at, after they get out into the race course proper. But if you're not in a rhythm very quickly, you can be in trouble. And if you want to dominate, you're not going to get an easy lead either, and that's an issue for Staystar, I think. Edward Stone, I think the issue with him is that Alan King hasn't decided yet whether he's a 2-miler or a 2.5-miler, and it's too late to be thinking about that now, I think. You know, he was going to run him in the Peterborough Chase, and obviously that fell foul of the weather. But he's, you know, he's humming and hawing about, does he still have the speed for 2 miles? Is he going to go 2.5? I'd like to see a commitment on that before now, or he could have run in that race that Staystar ran in, you know.
Yeah.
And that would have suited him in terms of the conditions. But I don't like the idea of a trainer being in two minds at this stage about which race the horse should be going for. He should stay, but I wouldn't be absolutely certain about it. And I'm not mad to be backing him at...
Is he running in the Silvianaco Conti at the weekend?
That would be the obvious race for him, 2.5 mile. And that will be an interesting race. Now, unfortunately, our timings here are not ideal because the entries for that are coming out while we're recording here. But there'll be two or three horses in that who might be enhancing or otherwise their claims for the Ryanair, and he might well be in that. That'll be the obvious race for him. But there might be another horse in that I'd be more interested in.
Okay, all will be revealed in due course. Before we move on to that, I have one quick age stat question for you, if you're a believer or not. I'm personally not, but I'll ask you this anyway. 4 8-year-olds have won the Ryanair. Obviously, Stage Star is an 8-year-old, but no 10-year-old has won it since Alberta's run in 2011. Would you reckon that's a bad omen for Edward's son, or has he got bigger issues being a potential non-stayer?
This is one of those stats. It shouldn't really be a surprise that top-class chasers tend to be at their best when they're 8 or 9 years old, maybe even slightly younger than that these days, because we're starting them earlier in point-to-points. But obviously, the longer you are around, the more vulnerable you are at the top level. So statistically, you'd expect 10-year-olds to struggle. But if you're a 10-year-old who happens to be at the top of your game and you're better than the opposition, then that's not going to stop you suddenly.
What about a 32-year-old at the top of your game? Do I still have?
That you're the peak of your powers, I'd say.
Well, I don't know if I ever peaked. But anyway, Ruby.
At least you said it.
Outside of Alaho, Willie seems to have another live contender. Appreciate it.
I think he does anyway. I thought he ran really well in the Savills chase behind Gallop and Deschamps. I don't think he stayed. Now, it's easy to say, well, if he didn't stay in the Savills, didn't look like he stayed in last year's Golden Miller. How does he turn the form with Stage Star from last year's Golden Miller? But I agree with Rory. I think Parry Cobden was in the right place. Mighty Potter, Davy Ross, and appreciated Paul Townend were just too far off him in a slowly run race, and Harry Cobden could never be pegged back. I do think he was value at 10-1, but the more I looked at this last night, Tom, the more I came around to thinking, people give out about Antipost, and Antipost is dead in the water. Like, I think there's one horse here that should be backed to Antipost, and that's John Bond at 14-1. You're backing him to the proper Antipost. If he turns up in the Clarence House and gets kicked out of the way by El Fabiolo, there's every chance he turns up here. That to me is an Antipost bet. He's 14-1. If he turns up here, what price is he? 6-4?
Oh, he's a lot shorter, yeah. Well, unless he gets really kicked out of the way.
You know what I mean? But if Fabiolo blows him out of the way in the Clarence House, I just think you're looking. He's not going to be 14-1. That, to me, is what Antipost is. It's a small stake. You're taking a chance, but if he lines up, you're holding the right ticket. So I think he's the one that, for an Antipost bet, should be backed. And then you look at what JP McManus has. He's Dino Blue here, Gentleman to Me here. If Gentleman to Me wins at the Dublin Racing Festival and gets to Cheltenham, he can kind of think, well, I've Gentleman to Me for that, I've John Bond for the Ryanair, I've Dino Blue for the Mrs. Paddy Power. When you look at it and think about it, I could see can make a case for him potentially ending up here, and I think that's enough to have some sort of a flutter. I thought Classic Getaway looked like a non-stayer in Tramore. He went to go buy Jungle Boogie and didn't get home, so I think maybe dropping back in trip would suit him. But he probably would have to improve 10, 12 pounds probably to get involved in this race. So they're the two. I thought Envoy Allen was a great price earlier in the year. He was 12 or 14-1 Antipost. He's now 6-1, which is just about right. Appreciated as 10-1. He was bigger last week as well. Yeah, they're angles. But I do think if you want an Antipost flutter for small stakes, I think John Bond is the one.
I love that. Just a little fantastic little angle there. Just unappreciated. I want to go back to appreciated for 2 seconds. Hasn't won since January of last year, but has had plenty of chances.
Yeah.
Is his, and I hate doing this, but is his attitude coming into question a little bit?
No, I'd say he'd probably had a hard enough race at Cheltenham, then went to Fairy House, was no match for Flame Bearer, and pulled out again at Punchestown behind Fair and Lily, where he ran all the way to the line. I'm not sure about questioning his attitude. I thought he had a brilliant run behind Fast or Slow. He spit Fast or Slow on Gallop in the Champ and the John Durkin.
Yeah.
That's arguably the strongest 2.5, my friend.
And he was a lot better in the Savills than the final results suggest.
He was,
He was right there until the second last.
Yeah.
But you don't think he's holding a little bit back for himself? He's just maybe just a little bit below the very, very top ones?
I'd say he probably is. But when I look at the race, you said 10-year-olds. So you're looking at Alaho, Envoy Allen, both 10. So is appreciated to throw it into the bargain. But, I think there's question marks about plenty in this race.
Okay. Rory, last year's winner, Ruby mentioned him, Envoy Allen, a horse obviously that Ruby was keen on earlier in the season.
I'm not keen about him, but he was a better price.
Sorry.
Yeah. And it's all about the price.
You're dead right to correct me. It's all about price. Antipost Bunting is all about price indeed. On Envoy Allen's festival form alone, do you think he has a big chance of retaining his title?
Obviously
on his festival form he does, but then when you take in the bigger picture, does he have a chance of retaining
his title? Well, the question is how strong this race is going to be, and there, you know, if John Bond rocks up, then it looks a strong race. And obviously, you know, the more impressive John Bond is in the meantime, the less likely he is to run here.
Yeah.
But it's possible that this ends up being a weakish renewal as it was last year. Again, last year it was strong on paper, but not that strong in reality. Hitman was third. French Dynamite was fourth. Envoy Ireland didn't do everything perfectly through the race. He missed a couple of fences, but once Rachel's got him straightened up the hill, he's quick and well to win the race. If he shows that form again, and he's looking more reliable in terms of where he shows his form, then he's got a fair chance. He's not going to improve any further than that, but he should be able to run to that level again. And it's a question of what else turns up on the day. So when he was double figure prices, you know, he probably didn't get the credit he deserved for winning the race last year, because more people talked about Shishkin throwing it away than Envoy Ireland actually winning it. And so, you know where he was going a year ago. If you wanted to get involved in him, you know, you weren't going to find anything new about him in the next 6 months. So he's kind of horse you want to back as early as you want. The one I like here is at the prices is Ban Bridge, who's 20s, anti-post, and maybe a bit bigger elsewhere. And he's now not really in the reckoning because he hasn't been seen since winning at Aintree last year, but he's not been seen since Aintree because he needs goodish ground. He actually missed the turners last year because the ground was deemed to be too soft. Ended up probably would have been all right for him on the day. You'd have fancied his chances if he'd run in it. And I obviously was with him Andy Post for that last year. He then beat Stage Star a long way at the entry next time. And yet Stage Star, despite pulling up last time, is a much shorter price than Banbridge. And I think people might be thinking Banbridge must have had a setback not to have been seen. But as far as I can tell, he's been ready to run for over a month, and Joseph's just moved out of this. He's not going to run him on soft ground, and the ground's been soft everywhere. So I'm hoping that whenever we finish, I can turn on the laptop and find out he's been entered at Kempton at the weekend. I think he will be. And hopefully with a dry week in Britain, he might get the ground that he wants there. If not, then one place he's liable to get fastish ground is Newbury in February.
What about Thurles the following week?
Yeah, Kinlochbray will be a possibility.
Could be dry from there too.
Yeah. So he's got opportunities. Yeah. And obviously, you know, if he rocks up, shows his well-being, then he suddenly becomes a big shortener for this race. On the official ratings, I'd maybe even run him in a handicap if there was something suitable between. I can't think what would be suitable between now and then. He's rated 155.
Don't think he's in the Dan Moore, is he, next weekend? After that, you might struggle. The Kinlochbray looked the obvious race for him if he doesn't go to Kempton.
They'll wait until for the right opportunity for him. As far as I'm aware, he's been ready to go for a while, so that really shouldn't be an issue. And if he does turn up and run well, then his price is going to shorten. And I think in terms of what he did last year, you know, he was arguably the top novice at 2.5 miles last season, and yet he's ignored in the betting for this.
Very good. Let's get a decision then for the Ryanair Ruby. Can Alaho make history and win a third Ryanair, or are you
looking elsewhere at the price? And I think he needs to bounce back and show a lot more spark than he has, Tom. Obviously, very small each way, John Bond, just on the off chance that he gets blown out of the water in the Clarence House. But look, chances are he won't take on El Fabiolo. He'll rock up in the game of spirit and run the champion chase. But I would go that way, and I have already advised Envoy Allen and Appreciated at better prices, and I think that they are maybe Appreciated is still a small bit of value.
Okay, very good. Rory, your final verdict for the Ryanair?
At the moment, small each way Banbridge at the prices, and if he is then declared for Kempton, I'm inclined to press up before he runs in the anticipation of a good run. If he isn't declared, then I'm going to keep my powder dry until I see, you know, signs that he is on track for that. But I'm not massively worried at the moment, but I'd probably have half my stake on now and then wait to see a declaration for him before pressing up again.
Okay, a few specials to tell you about before we wrap things up. We've got Alaho on site to win the Ryanair Chase. It's 5-2, and Ruby's Appreciated or Envoy Allen, two darts in the one bet to win the Ryanair is 100-30. You can get those and a link in the show notes. As well as that, we've got a Cheltenham Countdown Show episode 1 treble, and it's Constitution Hill, Conflated and Alaho all to win at their respective races at the Cheltenham Festival. It's now 18-1. Again, there's a link to that in the show notes, so you can have a look at that if it takes your fancy. Sinead, did you enjoy that?
Cheers, Tom.
Did you happy enough?
Yeah, I thought you were kept it flowing along. Yeah.
Rory, you're packing your bags, getting ready to go to the airport now?
I've got a little while.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll see you back next week.
Well, I hope so, yeah.
Okay, very good. Excellent. Well, that's all we've got time for. Don't forget, as we're indeed counting down to the Cheltenham Festival, we'll have a few enhancements for you every week on our Cheltenham section of the Paddy Power website. So the ones already mentioned are there already, but we'll be keep stacking those up as the weeks go by and the lads deliver us with more fantastic anti-post value. We hope you enjoyed the opening show of Season 4 of the Cheltenham Countdown series. Next week we'll be looking at the Champion Chase, the Mayor's Hurdle and the National Hunt Chase, the artist formerly known as the Four Miler, again in the company of the two great gentlemen here, Rory and Ruby. And remember, if you have any questions for the lads next week or want to know what they think of your bets, fire them into us just by emailing fthm@paddypower.com or by simply leaving a comment on our YouTube channel. We'd love to have you involved in the show. Don't forget to subscribe to the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel so you don't miss an episode of this show. Final reminder that if you're having a bet at any time, remember to gamble responsibly, and we will be back next week and indeed every Monday on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel to count down to the Cheltenham Festival. So between now and then, mind yourselves, and just 9 weeks to go until that festival. That was a long old script. Good luck. Thanks.